Hey guys, welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. I am the maker of the Filmmakers Podcast, Andrew Gardner. In this podcast, we cover famous directors for people looking to get into movies, so we hope you stick around and enjoy the podcast on the Filmmakers Podcast. And also, follow us on Instagram at podcast_makers for more movie content. Welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. For this week, we'll be finishing up the month of February and Black History Month with one of the most influential black filmmakers in Hollywood, Spike Lee. We'll be covering some heavy themes like racism and police brutality. I believe it is prominent to cover these films at the finish of the month, especially with the struggle of the African-American people and others in the United States and how we have become more and more divided through the years. Black Lives Matter has not only become a way of life for African-American communities to express their shortcomings in the United States, but also a way of life. Before we jump into the life of Spike Lee and themes and plots of his movies, I would like to talk about the archive footage he has within his films. Within the film Malcolm X, made in 1992, there's footage of the police brutality of Rodney King. As Malcolm X talks about how the white man has always brought down the black man for years.
Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that I charge the white man. I charge the white man with being the greatest murderer on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest kidnapper on earth. There is no place in this world that man can go and say he created peace and harmony. Everywhere he's gone, he's created havoc.
Slowly, the videos of police brutality fill the screen, and an American flag is burnt into the shape of an X for Malcolm X. In the film The Black Klansman, made in 2018, archive footage shows of the KKK throughout the years and ends with the 2017 Charlottesville, Virginia white supremacist rally, in which a large group of white supremacists carrying around tiki torches and shouting race hate speech like Jews won't replace it. There's also footage of the man who ran his car into a group supporting black lives. It finishes with a speech of Donald Trump refusing to condemn the white supremacist action in Charlottesville.
I think there's blame, yes. I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides. And I have no doubt about it. And you don't have any doubt about it either.
Spike Lee has been very vocal on his hatred for former President Trump. He has often compared Trump to Hitler and shows archive footage of him often being racist. Finally, Lee's most recent film, Dove Five Bloods, a Spike Lee Netflix joint, shows footage of the travesties of the Vietnam War, footage of bomb drops on innocent people in Vietnam and children running around with chemical burns. Also, archive footage of college protests such as Kent in 1970, where students were shot by the National Guard. Now that we have an idea on how Spike Lee films seriously express the plight of the African-American community and show strong, compassionate leaders of the black community, let's get into Spike Lee. Spike Lee was born in Atlanta, Georgia, March 20th, 1957. He would later move to Brooklyn, New York as a young child, and his mother, Jacqueline, would give him the nickname of Spike. Spike Lee would enroll in Morehouse University in the early 1980s and would earn a degree in mass communication. Jeez, that trivia bell is loud and early. In The Five Bloods, David, played by Jonathan Major, son of Vietnam vet Paul, played by Lee favorite DeRoy Lindo, is a school teacher who attended Morehouse University. Lee's script speaks on Edwin Moses, an Olympic 400-meter hurdle gold medal winner in the 1976 and 1984 Olympics. This is another way Spike Lee gives shout-outs to historical black leaders. In The Five Bloods, David has stepped on a landmine, and his father Paul tells him to run like Moses, the Olympic hurdle runner and Morehouse University alumni, in a historical black men's private university. In 1983, Lee turned in his master's degree thesis in short film Joe's Bed-Stuy Barbershop, We Cut Heads, for New York's Trish University Art School, and will later shoot his first feature film in 1985's She's Gotta Have It. For this week, we'll be covering 1989's Do the Right Thing, 1992's Malcolm X, 2018's Black Klansman, and 2020's The Five Bloods. Now, let's get into some plots. Man, there's that bell popping up again, and at the most random time. The movie Do the Right Thing might seem like a fictional story of the hottest day in Brooklyn, but it is based on a 1986 incident. Michael Griffin, Thomas Grimes, Curtis Sylvester, and Cedric Sanford broke down in a predominantly Italian neighborhood or were met with hostility and death. Another fact is Lee moved his film from Paramount to Universal to ditch the happy ending. Do the Right Thing follows the story of Mookie, played by Lee himself, a pizza delivery man, and the people surrounding him. Mookie kind of works at Sal's Pizza for Sal, played by Danny Aiello, an Italian pizza store owner, and his sons Pino, played by John Turturro, and Vito, played by Richard Edson. Mookie often takes two-hour breaks to go home and see his girlfriend and baby mama, Tina, played by Rosie Perez. The city of Brooklyn has some of the most colorful characters like drunk homeless man Mr. Mayor, the apartment manager of Mookie, Mother Sister. Groups of black and Cuban teens argue over who can play their music louder, all headed by the jukebox welding Radio Raheem, played by Bill Nunn. A group of drunk men set out on the street, catcalling women, talk about global warming, and speak ill of the Asian market owners across the street. And finally is the friends and family Mookie. Jade, played by Joe Ali, and Bugging Out, played by Giancarlo Esposito. The film might have many different stories, but follows one storyline the most, the struggle of Sal and owning a pizzeria in a mostly black neighborhood as his business is being boycotted by Bugging Out for not having famous black people on the walls. Pino, Sal's son, is often racist towards people that frequent his father's establishment and argues with his father to move out of the dangerous neighborhood. The most life-changing event is when Sal breaks Radio Raheem's radio with a bat, and the scene intensifies as the two yell at each other over the loud music. The police are called on Radio Raheem, and it ends up with them choking him out as he dies from the police. It ends with Sal's pizzeria burned down by people of Brooklyn after Mookie, fed up with the treatment at Sal's, throws a trash can through the window. Malcolm X, made in 1992, is a three-hour epic on the life of Malcolm X. It starts with Malcolm Little, played by Denzel Washington, a poor man working as a server on the train. Malcolm is the son of a preacher, murdered on a train track, and a half-black European mother. Malcolm's mother would later be put in the hospital in Kalamazoo, and Malcolm and his siblings would later split off. Malcolm would later drop out of high school after a teacher told him being a lawyer was no job for a black man. Malcolm as an adult would later become a drug addict slash dealer pimp who ran with West Indy Archer, also played by DeLroy Lindo, as he would fall further and further into crime. Malcolm and his best friend Shorty, also played by Spike Lee, would be sent to prison for robbery for 8 to 10 years. While coming down from coke addiction in prison, Malcolm started to be mentored by Baines, played by Albert Hall, on the religion of Islam. Baines spoke on the great leader Elijah Muhammad and his religion on putting the black man first. Malcolm devotes himself to Islam and, when out of prison, begins to work as a minister for Muhammad. As a minister, Malcolm shows his dominance as a speaker and becomes the right-hand man for Muhammad.
Because if I was an American, the problem that confronts our people today wouldn't even exist.
That's right.
Now we ain't Americans, huh?
So I have to stand here today as what I was when I was born. A black man.
Malcolm later marries Islam woman preacher Betty Shabazz. Malcolm later becomes more and more radical and later has a hit put on him by Baines and Muhammad after he called President JFK's death the rooster's coming to roost. Later, Malcolm begins his own Islamic association, Muslim Mosque, Inc. Malcolm flies to Mecca to gain a perspective on his Islamic faith. There he spends time with all races and begins to become more less and less radicalized. When Malcolm comes back home to New York, him and his wife Betty receive phone calls calling for his death from the CIA and Muhammad's children. On February 21, 1965, Malcolm X was gunned down by some of the men sent by Muhammad. Malcolm, after his death, left a hole in the life of many black citizens looking for the rights they never had. In 2018's Black Klansman, it is a story about Ron Stallworth, played by John David Washington, the son of Malcolm X actor Denzel Washington, the first black officer and detective in the Colorado Springs Police Department. Wow, there's that bell again. This is the third movie in a row Spike Lee following a real-life story, as Ron Stallworth was a real black officer in the 1970s that infiltrated the real-life KKK and Grand Wizard David Duke. Ron finds himself infiltrating the KKK and needed a man to play him when he meets up with the group in person. He tasks fellow detective Flip Zimmerman, a Jewish detective, to meet some of the KKK members, Walter, Felix, and Ivanhoe. While Flip deals with Felix trying to catch him in a lie of being a Jewish man, Ron is talking in length with David Duke, played by Topher Grace, Grand Wizard of the KKK. Ron also starts a relationship with Patrice, played by Laura Harrier, the president of the local civil rights chapter. Everything comes to head when the police sergeant tasks Black Ron to be security of David Duke as he has come down to welcome White Ron into the KKK. That same day, Felix tasks his wife Connie with planting a bomb at Patrice's house after a plan A of bombing the Black Student Union rally is broken up by the police. Ron Stallworth, heading to Patrice's house, scares Connie into putting the bomb into Patrice's car. Ron tackles Connie, trying to arrest her, and some cops come and beat Ron and handcuff him. As Felix and Ivanhoe drive by Patrice's house to blow it up, they end up blowing themselves up as they did not realize that Connie had planted the bomb in the car and not the house. This leaves Colorado Springs without the worst racists in town and Ron without something to fight. The movie ends with Patrice and Ron hearing a knock at the door and the KKK burning a cross into their lawn. Back and worse more than ever. Spike Lee's final film is a powerful movie on four Vietnam veterans returning to Vietnam to get the gold they buried 50 years ago in the body of their dead commander, Stormer Norman, played by the late Chadwick Boseman. R.I.P. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Paul, Melvin, Otis, and Eddie return older and wiser to the place that took their youth. The movie intercuts of scenes of Vietnam, of today's Vietnam, and Vietnam of the 1970s, but leaving the four as the same age they are in both times. This shows that the war has never left them and they can't escape it. And Stormer Norman is left young as he died before he can grow old. Paul, played by D. Roy Lindo and Spike Lee Regler, gives an Oscar-worthy performance, and I hope he wins as he gives a riveting performance as a man who is riddled with PTSD and the guilt of his son thinking he hates him and himself accidentally killing Stormer Norman in Crossfire. The four and Paul's son David make their way into the Vietnam forest. They soon find the gold in Norman's body, but Eddie is soon killed by an IDD after telling him the sin of wealth. Soon, the four find themselves in a battle of Vietnam pirates who are trying to steal their gold. The four partner up with a group that blow up IDs so no one longer steps on them, and their guide, Tran. Paul separates from the group as his PTSD has finally gets to him. He finally accepts his guilt when he is gunned down by the pirate Quan. The others battle DeRoche, the man who is supposed to get the gold into the United States for him. Melvin is killed after he jumps on a bomb, and DeRoche is shot in the head by David as he stands over Otis, ready to murder him. The movie ends with Stormer Norman's body returned to the United States 50 years later and $17 million fortune in gold going to Black Lives Matter groups and prominent organizations. Now that we have gotten into the plot, let's get into some themes of Spike Lee movies and how they have changed cinema for the better. I want to start with the police brutality within Spike Lee's movie. The first one I would like to cover is the horrific murder of Radio Raheem. Radio Raheem and Do the Right Thing speaks on his knuckles. There are rings on his knuckles that say love and hate. He says, if I love you, I will love you forever, and if I hate you, I will hate you forever. Radio Raheem hates the police, and they strangle him to death. This scene plays out the actual events of Eric Garner, a man strangled to death in 2014, just 20 years earlier. I Can't Breathe was screamed by Garner as he was choked to death. And in the last year of George Floyd, who was murdered as a police officer put his knee on his neck, strangling him to death in Minnesota. If Radio Raheem died in the days of Black Lives Matter, his voice would not go unforgotten, and he would have a voice after death. As the air settled in Brooklyn, and the death of Radio Raheem was all but forgotten. It was even said by Sal that the man would not come to Brooklyn without a police escort. The dangerous Brooklyn is now filled with racist police officers just looking to make trouble. This is why they so easily killed Radio Raheem. And in The Black Klansman, as Ron tackled Connie, the police department in Colorado Springs would rather believe that a black man was a criminal and not actually the white woman planting the bomb. The police officers beat Ron with a billy club and arrest him before Flips comes to save the day. The police officers could only reply, "The black man's a cop?" These are just some of the cases in his movies that translate to real life. Next is the huge issue of racism, as we see many figures in Spike Lee films and how they show how people could be like this in today's society. The first one I would like to talk about is Pino, the son of Sal, and Do the Right Thing. He speaks ill of Mookie and his friends, and he thinks better of himself of being an Italian-American. He likes artists like Prince and basketball player Magic Johnson, but can't manage to like anyone black in his real life. In Malcolm X, race is a huge issue as Malcolm speaks on having separation of black and whites and taking back their rights as the king of the world. In the movie, there is a great look on how Malcolm X has become radicalized but later turned back in his belief in more mixed races, but also looking to have African-Americans come first. In The Five Bloods, the Vietnam War veterans now have to deal with Vietnamese society where people are no longer trying to kill them. The final great use of horrible racism is Felix in The Black Klansman. Felix hates anything but white and is played great by Finland-born actor Felix Baauken. Felix speaks on killing black people every day with his wife, Connie, as they look into the bombing of the Black Student Union rally. He might be a character from the 1970s, but there are people like this in real life today. A man willing to die to see the master race of white take off would be the opposite of what Malcolm X wanted. Felix is the worst in the worst when it comes to racism in Spike Lee movies. One cool thing I would like to talk about in Spike Lee movies is some of the shots he takes on his movies. He often intercuts shots of people's faces with others popping up in the background. He often uses this to show crowds listening to speakers, like in Black Klansman when they go to a black speaker in a rally, and within Malcolm X with the people listening to Malcolm X speak. Another is a shot where characters are not moving in the background. We see this when Ron and Patrice are in the hallway, and it looks like they are moving without moving as the background moves, and they do not. And this leads to the scene with the KKK. Spike Lee might have some great themes, but his shots are also great and inventive. All right, guys, we're done with Spike Lee. It was great seeing some of the themes of Spike Lee and how his films have affected Hollywood today. We will start March, or Women's History Month, with four great female directors, starting with Sofia Coppola, famed godfather actress turned director. So, guys, I hope you turn in the next week on our new journey. All right, guys, that was our podcast. If you enjoyed it, remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at podcast_makers. And watch out for next week's podcast. It's bound to be loads of fun as we look at another filmmaker. All right, guys, see you later.